Galatians 6, beginning at verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Father God, I pray that you're with us this morning as we look at this passage in Galatians and as we think about what it means to be good and kind as we serve you in the Spirit. Give us open ears, open hearts, open minds to hear what you have to say to each one of us. Amen. So how does it feel when someone does a nice thing for you? Whether it's holding a door open for you or giving you a bar of chocolate when you're having a tough day, or a surprise package through the post. Little things that make us feel happy for a moment in our busy lives. So today, as David said, we've come to the final sermon in the series, looking at the fruits of the Spirit. And you get a special two-for-one deal this morning. A buy one, get one free, goodness and kindness. But don't panic, I'm not going to speak for the length of two sermons, not quite. What we will see today is how living in the Spirit enables us to be good and kind. We'll look at what that means for us practically in our everyday lives and how we might be challenged to change the way we live as we look to Jesus, the perfect role model. His death on the cross was the ultimate act of goodness, and that should encourage us to change our lives to live more like him. In this passage in Galatians, Paul illustrates what he means by living in the Spirit. Freedom from the Old Testament law didn't mean we can just live how we want to live, but live a life of love by the power of the Spirit through acts of goodness and kindness. Now, goodness and kindness are so closely related, they're often interchangeable, and that's why we're looking at them both today. In Jerry Bridges' book, A Fruitful Life, he explains the subtle differences between them. Kindness is a sincere desire for the happiness of others, the inner desire created by the Holy Spirit that causes us to be sensitive to the needs of others around us, whether that's a physical, emotional, or spiritual need. Goodness, on the other hand, is the activity calculated to advance that happiness. It's kindness in action. It's our words and our deeds that are the outward working of our thoughts and desires to help people find happiness. Kindness gives us the awareness of those around us, and we can express our thoughtfulness through a smile, a thank you, an encouraging word, little things that may cost us nothing in terms of our time or money, But in order to be kind, we need to be aware of what's going on around us. If you use public transport, you might have seen the new Travel Kind adverts, encouraging travellers to look up and take notice of people around them and to offer a seat to someone who may need it more. It's encouraging us to think about others' needs rather than just our own. But it's God's grace of kindness that helps us as Christians develop a genuine interest in others and in their happiness and well-being, and enables us to act through good deeds, those deliberate acts that we do to help others. Things that might cost us our time, our money, that they require some effort, but something that will really help people or a particular situation. When we look at God's kindness and goodness to us, they go way beyond the deeds that might cost us time, money, or effort. Even, you know, we just look at the blessings we receive in our everyday lives. But ultimately, he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, that we might have eternal life. The ultimate act of kindness and goodness. How would we feel if we were challenged to undertake a similar act? The book, The Miracle on the River Kwai, is an autobiography of Captain Ernest Gordon, who was held prisoner during the Second World War, building the notorious railway in Burma. He recounts the events of an amazing sacrificial act of goodness. One day, after a day's labour, the prisoners were lined up and their captives were shouting at them. During a tool check, it was found that a shovel had gone missing. The guards demanded the return of the shovel or they would kill each man, one by one. A soldier stepped forward and confessed that he had taken the shovel. He was beaten to death in front of the other prisoners. Later, a second tool check found there was no missing shovel. It was simply a case of miscounting. The soldier, an innocent man, had given his life to save others. That act of goodness to save other people. Now, we may never be in that similar sort of situation, but we do need to be prepared to make sacrifices to do good. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul talks about caring for widows if they have no family. But in order to be looked after, she must be well known for her good deeds. It says such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. If we look at our lives, what do our good deeds look like? Do we take action regardless of what it may cost us as individuals? You know, the thought of washing David's feet, how does that make you feel? Are we known for our good deeds? What is a good deed? Well, our passage helps us think about all this and shows us what it means to have the fruits of the Spirit of goodness and kindness and how we should live our lives. The first few verses in chapter 6 are a calling to those of us who live by the Spirit to help our fellow Christians. Those of us who've maybe been Christians for a long time, who have more maturity and experience in the Christian life, we're in a position to help others who may be struggling, and particularly those Christians who may not be as mature as we are. The focus of this passage is how we, as a Christian family, should be showing acts of goodness and kindness to each other. The passage starts with a challenge. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. As Christians, our desire for each other's happiness has to be grounded in living a life as Christ would want us to. We're not perfect, and we all get it wrong. And it's up to each of us to challenge each other when we need to. So when we see someone doing or saying something they really shouldn't, we should challenge them gently. And if you were here last week, you'll remember that the fruit of gentleness doesn't necessarily mean we have to be all softly and, you shouldn't do that. But it should come from a place of love and support in God's grace and power at the heart of it. We sometimes need to be strong in our gentleness. And when we're on the receiving end of that challenge, we need to remember that it comes from a place of our friend wanting us to be truly happy. Proverbs 27, verse 6 is really helpful. It says, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." At the time, we may feel hurt and wounded, maybe even ashamed and angry that our friend has pointed out our sin. But we know that we can trust that friend because their act of goodness is from the Spirit. It is a desire to bring us back closer to God and not from a place of wanting to cause us hurt or pain. It might not even feel like an act of goodness or kindness at the time, but when we look back, we'll recognise how that challenge was right and maybe helped us bring us back closer to God. What could be a kinder act than that? And verse 2 goes on to calls us to carry each other's burdens. That may mean we need to be a listening ear, helping those who are struggling, just being there when they're facing difficulty. You're probably familiar with the old adage, you know, a problem shared is a problem halved. Sometimes just talking about something helps make it feel not to be such a big problem. And the end of our passage talks about what we will sow, we will reap. Paul's reference to reaping here is a reference to the blessings of eternal life, rather than getting an immediate reward now. So when we carry out our acts of goodness and kindness, we might not see any benefit now. Life may be hard, or the person we're being kind to might not like it, or we might feel there's a huge personal cost to the act of kindness that we're doing. But that shouldn't stop us being good and kind, for we know what is to come in heaven. So whilst we await our rewards in heaven, we should be doing good. And as the passage points out, our primary focus should be on serving those here in our church community, but never to the exclusion of people in the wider world. Jesus made it clear that a Christian's primary allegiance is to the kingdom of God, with God as our heavenly Father, rather than to our friends or our workplace, our schools, our sports, or even our earthly families. But that doesn't mean we turn our backs on people who are not Christians. Jesus doesn't call us to demote people outside the church to a low status or to simply ignore them. We only need to remember what we did to Jesus. He died for us after we had rejected him, and we know how wrong it would be for us to reject others. But we're called to promote our brothers and sisters in Christ to the status of family. So the widow in need in our church who has no one to care for her becomes our mother. And Jesus gives us the perfect example in John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. As he was hanging on the cross, Jesus was still aware of the needs of those around him and acted. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. In response to Jesus' kindness and seeing the need, the disciple responded in goodness by caring for Mary in his home. God shows us kindness in sending Jesus to save us, something we utterly do not deserve. He was rejected by those he came to save, and yet he willingly went to his death for our sins. And that sets the bar quite high for us. We are to be kind to all, the ungrateful, the wicked, the utterly lost, the hopeless, the rebellious, as well as people we like. Our natural instinct is to show kindness to those we have a natural affinity with, our family, our friends, people we like. But God's kindness is for all. Jesus came to save us all. And so if we are to become more like him, our acts of kindness should not just be reserved for those people we like. Have you ever tried to be kind to someone who is ungrateful? A few weeks ago, I was on the tube. And for once, it wasn't too busy. There was just me and another lady stood in the carriage. And a man caught my eye and he offered me his seat. Now, I'd been stood all day at work in a workshop in my heels, so I was very thankful to be offered a seat. And I smiled and said thank you and sat down. The man next to me kind of looked and saw the other lady standing, and so he offered her his seat. And she was just horrible to him. "No, I don't want your seat," she said. He looked really uncomfortable, and I felt really awful for him, and I wonder if he will ever offer his seat to someone again. If that happens to us, our offer of kindness is firmly rejected. How do we respond? Do we think, "I'm never going to help that person again"? Or do we continue to never tire of doing good? No matter how ungrateful we are to God's kindness, he does not turn his back on us. And so we should be the same with those we want to do good for. And the Bible tells us we should. You know, our passage talks about us never tiring of doing good. And Luke 6, chapter 6, verse 35 says, "But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked." Jesus gave his life for us, for our sins. Our acts of goodness pale into insignificance in comparison. We're not called to give our lives as Jesus did, but where we see a need, no matter what it costs us, we should seek to act, regardless of who that person is. And it is living by the Spirit that enables us to do that. We are called to not grow weary from doing good. It's something we should be doing continually and cheerfully. You may have heard me say before that James chapter 2 is one of my favourite Bible passages. It reminds us that faith and deeds are inextricably linked. We are called to put our faith into action through good deeds. Deeds we are called by God to do. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it says, "We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works with which God prepared in advance for us to do." Paul is not teaching that it is by works that we are saved, but that no one is saved without works. Any attempt to avoid the consequences of our actions, both our words and our deeds, are futile. For although we are free to choose to whom we give our allegiance to, whether that's the flesh or the spirit, God alone chooses the eternal consequences of our choices. So we can choose to ignore Paul's teaching in regard to helping others, but in doing so, we will receive the negative, eternal consequence of living by the flesh and not in the spirit. We'll show ourselves to be people of the flesh and not of the spirit, and our faith will ultimately be shown to be fake. So what are the practical ways we can show the Spirit working in our lives through goodness and kindness? Well, let's think about goodness at church. How do we care for our fellow Christians? Do we challenge when we see someone doing something wrong or making wrong life choices? Are we there to carry their burdens? Do we take time to listen when someone is struggling? Do we look for practical ways to help people? You know, amongst many things, I know there are people here in St. Pat's who are great at arranging meals for families when they've just had a baby, or people who do shopping for those who can't get out, or offer lifts to people who don't have a car. Do we never tire of doing good for others around us? Whilst Paul's challenge to us is to do good for our fellow Christians, that shouldn't stop us being kind to people who don't know Jesus. He was kind to everyone, and anything we do for him. In Matthew 20, chapter 25, we're reminded that whatever good we do for other people, we're doing for Jesus. Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." We should be like a light on the hill. We're a community that cares for one another, but whose love for one another spills out into the outside community as we look to help them too. So let's look outside our community. And what about goodness at work? Now, we're not all called to paid vocational ministry, but our actions in our workplaces should make us stand out. A kind word or deed can go a long way. I was talking to some colleagues last week, the usual, "So what are you doing at the weekend?" conversation. And last weekend, I said I'd be writing this sermon. I was asked about what the topic was, so I briefly explained we're doing the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. "And I've got goodness and kindness, bags of it," came the immediate response from one of my colleagues. And that just made me smile. that even in those days when it's hard to be good and kind to my colleagues, and there are days, I do try. And it's to see it recognised like that just meant a lot to me. I pray that in seeing that difference, they may want to know more about Jesus. But until they do, I will continue to live in the Spirit and show them acts of goodness and kindness. What about our families? Do we do good deeds for those closest to us? If you don't work, do you look for opportunities to help those who are maybe housebound? If you live with people, do you help each other with the chores? And if you do, do you do it graciously or grumpily? Something to think about next time the kitchen bin is full, or the hoovering needs doing, or a sibling or a partner needs a listening ear. And if we look beyond our families, how are we good to anyone we come into contact with? True goodness is self-sacrificing, both in terms of our time and money, and we should be willing to want to give our time and effort, even if we think we haven't got the time or the energy. We're serving God in what we do, and we should do that with joy. Good deeds are important, but we don't do them in order to earn our place in heaven, but because we want to become more Christ-like. In serving the needy, we are serving Jesus. So the challenge for us is, how do we use our gifts, our talents, our time, our money, our vocation, our circumstances, to serve those in need through acts of goodness and kindness? Opportunities to do good are those everyday things like offering food or a meal to someone, a kind word to someone we don't like, as simply a smile or a thank you when someone holds the door open for you or offers you a seat on the tube. Those little things that make life a little bit more pleasant. But they might also cause us more effort, whether in terms of our time or money, or even if we look to Jesus, our lives. We may be called to do sacrificial good deeds, things that really cost us, but we know we are helping our fellow Christians through those acts of goodness and kindness. There are always opportunities to do good here at St. Pat's, helping your Christian family. Last week there was a call in the newsletter for help with serving at lunch club. A few weeks ago, Kathy asked for people to think about volunteering to help with flower arranging. And we've got the AGM coming up. Perhaps you're being called to serve on the PCC. In our busy lives, it might be a challenge, not only to do good, but to never tire of doing good, and to look for those opportunities to do so. But it's in the Spirit that we are able to do those things. It's knowing this, and knowing that Jesus died, what Jesus did for us on the cross, that should encourage and challenge us to change our lives to ones where we are always doing good and kind things for others. The other fruits of the Spirit help us with this practical outworking of our faith. Love gives us the desire to care for each other, to want to help. Forbearance or patience, the willingness to stick at doing that good deed. Self-control gives us the will to help others. Faithfulness, the ability to see it through. We will do what we say we will. Gentleness gives us the ways to help people, being strong in our gentleness if we need to, when it's a really difficult situation or challenging conversation. All of these fruits come together as we serve God. Life in the Spirit involves a real, practical love for one another, outwardly shown through our acts of kindness and goodness. It results in a true biblical community, a family together, looking out for each other, caring and helping each other, and challenging one another when we get it wrong, and then doing the same outside our family, helping those in need who do not yet know Jesus, but in receiving an act of kindness, sees what it means to be a Christian living in the Spirit. Let us pray. Father God, may we never tire of doing good for you and for each other. Give us what we need in order to not only see a need, but to act to help those who need our help, and to do so without thinking about the cost to ourselves, but knowing that in serving you, we are helping others. Amen.